Welcome, everyone. I want to just say a few words for starters. Then I am going to invite each of you to say something about what you're hoping to get from today's session. Then we'll take it from there. The topic for today, which is called Mastering the Motivation to Contribute, is sort of focused on the inner preparation necessary so that I can come into a feedback session with a clarity about my intention. A lot of times there is part of what makes feedback so problematic for both giver and receiver is that the distinctions are not clear, the preparation may have not been done, and feedback can turn into something punitive or into basically whoever is ostensibly giving feedback asking to be heard without making it directly clear, and it can get messy. So the purpose for today is to, A, get real clarity about the difference between feedback and personal trigger, and then work with people who have real-life situations of feedback giving to hone in what is the work that you need to do to be really ready. And then next week, we will focus on the concrete pieces that you need to do for feedback giving. I am planning to just go down the list of people that are on the call and ask you each to say maybe a few words about what's brought you to the overall Feedback Without Criticism class. And then anything that you have immediately on top related to the topic of today. What drew you to take this particular class, and any thoughts that you have about the topic of today? I just wanted to say, in case there's anyone who is wondering why are we taking so long in this circle or anything like this, I want to tell you that my style of working and teaching is to connect with people and link what they're saying and the issues that they bring from their life to the teaching points that I want to make so that they are relevant to specific things and therefore more alive and easier to remember and integrate. So this is very intentional what I'm doing.
Hi, Mickey. I am taking this class because giving feedback is something that I find difficult to do, and I have people in my life who are extraordinarily sensitive to anything that at all hints of criticism. I found it very valuable when I sat in on the first class to really think about distinguishing feedback from the personal trigger. I think that's key for me.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be on this teleconference because I have challenges in this area. I'm hoping for trust in any clarity that I may think that I have from inner preparation. I think quite often I feel like I'm so clear and I think I've prepared, and then it falls apart. I do work by myself, so it isn't exactly a collegial, you know, like other colleagues that I would be thinking of feedback with or other people that I'm working with. So it's more in personal areas, you know, a problem.
I think you are still having a private practice in therapy.
Yes.
I would say that being able to give clients feedback is something that, in my personal experience, few therapists do. And as a former client, I was hungry for and never received.
Okay, I'm glad that that's a broad definition of it. That's great. Yeah, in fact, I was thinking of you today in a session where I was really wanting to offer feedback on how to give feedback. It got very complicated.
And with that said, because my overall intention for this class was to support people in their workplace, I will try to give priority to people who have workplace situations if they exist.
Yes.
I hope you're okay with that.
Oh, absolutely. I'll learn a lot from that too, I'm sure.
Thank you. Yes, hi, Mickey. So I'm excited about having a sense of what needs to happen first before feedback can happen. Because, you know, I feel like I'm all thumbs sometimes if I'm triggered. I don't even realize that I'm triggered. It just sort of grows in me. And so I don't have the awareness to have the clarity. When I have situations that I really thought through and I know what I'm going to say and I'm not afraid that it's going to become punitive, I'm fine giving feedback. Thank you.
Hi. I just find this an extremely exciting topic. I've been in situations where I have had to give feedback to a group of people, not just to one person, but in a very challenging situation of differing opinions, and to be able to give feedback to a whole group where many people have ideas that are very different from mine has been very challenging, not to mention also situations in my private life.
You work as a facilitator of sorts?
Yes, I am working as a facilitator. I facilitate some NVC practice groups, but I was working in a Waldorf school as a teacher for a while, and that was extremely challenging.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have a problem giving feedback overall, and I think I do it fairly gently outside of my family. And in particular, I don't know how to do it gently with my daughter, which is probably the number one reason why I'm on the call. And then the number two reason is that I am in the process of starting what I call a village house, the first village house where I will have four people that committed to doing NVC, restorative circle, and sociocracy in return for free rent and also supporting someone that's in recovery. In this particular case, it's my son that has mental illness, and my vision is that this is a model that would be used. So it's the first house, but there'll be other houses, and feedback will be critical to those people that have agreed to take the risk and come forward and try this out as a social experiment.
Great. Thank you.
I'm looking at getting back into the workforce after having been primarily a homemaker, for want of a better word, for the past 11 years. And prior to that, I did work in management positions and did need to give people feedback. Certainly had no training to do that. No training in terms of providing people with feedback. So I can see that it's sort of an area where I need to develop some skills.
I'm so appreciating that you see this. It's kind of an irony that it, in effect, my sense is that some of the key skills that managers need, which are offering feedback to people in a way that will get the best out of them, and making decisions with people. Both of these areas are key areas that I don't believe there is enough training in. And they're so central to what managers need to do. So I'm appreciating that you are preparing in this way. Anything else?
Well, I'll just add that I personally find it way more challenging to offer feedback in a interpersonal relationship than I do in the workplace.
I can tell you why. Because in the workplace, you're protected. When you are a manager and you give feedback to an employee, the structure of the workplace protects you. It doesn't mean that the actual challenges are any less, just that people will feel less free to tell you how obnoxious you are when you give them feedback they don't like. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm playing with you. You understand. I don't know anything about how you give feedback.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
For me, especially in the last two or three years since I've been taking some NVC classes, it's become more and more important for me to be able to express my own honesty and how to express the truth within me so that it isn't received by the other person as a form of judgment or criticism in some way. And I think the challenge is especially difficult for me when I know I already have a judgment about the other person I'm talking to, or perhaps in the back of my mind some outcome that I would like to see, even though I haven't fully expressed it.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If you have a judgment of someone, it's extremely unlikely that they will receive your message without a judgment. You would have to be a really good master of disconnecting your language from what the truth is inside of you. So that one is pretty obvious. The two difficulties that I see, one is that we're not always on to ourselves, and a couple of people earlier have already alluded to that. You think that you're just giving feedback when you're really triggered, and you don't really know that you're triggered and have a judgment. The second issue is that we have, actually there's two more, there's a second and a third. The second issue is that even when we don't have judgment, we can have discomfort or awkwardness about the process of giving feedback. And that discomfort, if we don't know how to talk about it, will also register as judgment. And the third issue is that we have no control over how we are received by another person. We can be clean and loving and relaxed, and the other person can have so much of their own self-judgment that they will hear it as judgment even if it's completely not there. So it's essentially we have three things to do. One is to become conscious of the truth. Second is to work out the judgment or the attachment to outcome, as you said, which is a kind of like a variant, to work it out so that we're really in a place of freedom. And third, to let go of having the other person's experience be a measure of our success so that we don't become dependent on them accepting the message as a way of saying, I did my job. So that we can stay self-connected enough to know I did what I did, I delivered it. The other person heard it as judgment, and that's not about me. Those three pieces are all pieces of inner work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's motivating me to be in the class is that I recognize that it's really time to reawaken an ability I probably have naturally to give feedback, but I have given up on since I was probably a child when I tried to give my parents feedback. I remember as a teenager about things I was seeing in the family, and I was not received well, and I think I just let it go and decided that it was much safer in human relationships to just try to work on my own letting go of things rather than give people feedback. I'm recognizing now that, boy, that strategy doesn't work for me anymore. I really need to grow up and be able to participate more fully in my human relationships and contribute to other people's growth.
This is a big piece of personal work for you beyond just this class, just to reclaim your place on the human map as a person whose feedback is valuable.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm just touched and wishing you gentleness towards yourself, because the task seems big, and I it's kind of like I feel a little protective in the sense of wanting you to know that it's big and it might take time and not to get easily discouraged.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I have great hope that I'm going to be able to learn this. I like that you break it into chunks, baby steps, and I sense that I'm going to be able to follow this, and this is going to be, you know, really, really helpful to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have to say I really enjoyed looking through the handout and doing the exercise this time. I realized that I hesitate to give feedback because it's more about holding myself to a standard of not judging another person and wanting to be accepting of other people. Mm-hmm. And so I hold back from giving feedback because I'm always checking with myself, am I just judging them, or is this feedback that is important? And I kind of resonate with the last caller who said she's practiced learning how to let things go, and I would like to be able to change that as well. Doing the exercise, I realized if I really stayed with the feeling in the trigger, it became clear to me what the feedback could be.
Thank you. You are taking a few of my words out of my mouth, which is that there is some idea in many circles that judgment is bad. And what ends up happening is when people have judgment, they basically try to clamp it down. Instead, I look at judgment as information that is not processed. It's kind of like, you know, if you think about it, there are some vegetables that you need to cook before you
eat them. Yeah, that's right.
It's like eating a potato without cooking it. I know that some people actually do that, but they are few. And I don't know if anybody eats an artichoke that is not cooked. And yet, if you were to say, oh, that artichoke is so tough, let's just never eat it, you would be deprived of a great pleasure that at least some people have. Some of us think that artichokes are absolutely delectable. If you were to look at an artichoke, you would never dream that that could turn into anything edible. I'm really enjoying this. I've never had this metaphor of judgment as information that needs to be processed so that the nutritional value that is there can come forth. And in a sense, that is the bulk of what we're going to do today. Not 100%. This is my focus, is how can we make use of our triggers to learn from them instead of being ashamed about them or impatient, like, oh, there I go again, judging, etc., etc., so that it really becomes useful for us in learning how to communicate. Does this speak to what you raised? I bet it does.
Yes, thank you so much.
Sure.
I've spent most of my life shutting down my voice and telling myself that this thing and that thing and that the other thing was really no big deal and I had to let go of it. It's just a little thing. And ultimately came to a point of finding out that my voice wasn't valuable at all. And yet my family was deteriorating. I'll call it deteriorating. You know, when young people start dying, that was a real wake-up call for me. I'm enjoying the way that you're talking about processing things, and I'm working on what's called dancing in the fire. I'm back in there now and trying to figure out how to be there in a way that can be heard.
Thank you. I want to say two things about this thing, about something being not a big deal. One is kind of like a standard joke that I have. So if anybody has heard it before, please bear with me. You know, there's a book out there. It's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. You know about that book? I don't know anything about what's in it, except that I know I have this idea of writing kind of like a mirror book that's going to be called Pay Attention to the Big Stuff, and it's all big stuff. That ultimately, everything small is holographic. The fact that something got to you, even if momentarily, even if you're able to let it go, is very rich information about what your sensitivities are, what matters to you, how you respond to things, what you can do to learn and grow, what information you want to give other people about yourself. All of this is hidden inside every little thing that is not a big deal. That's one thing that I wanted to say. The other is that what I most am interested in is supporting people in having choice about just about anything. So if you and a few other people come from a background of letting it go, letting it go, letting it go, the growth for you would be in learning how to express. For some other people, and you know, every workplace, every family, somewhere, there is a person who constantly gives feedback. Sometimes it's pleasant to hear and sometimes it's not pleasant to hear. For that person, if there are people here that give and give and give feedback and have gotten from other people like, whoa, this is too much, maybe the growth is to learn to tolerate things so you can practice letting go as a choice. There isn't anything that is of absolute value in either one of them. For me, I want to have the entire range available to me as a choice. And to accomplish that, I need to cultivate what is less comfortable for me. Does this make sense?
Yes, very much so.
Great.
So I love the holographic part of it and the part about joy, because that's what I'm working on now, is trying to become my most loving self, say what I want to say in a loving way, and yet give the other person the choice about it and make my choices accordingly. And what I'm finding so far in what you're offering is giving me help and how to construct that.
Thank you, and we'll hopefully get into much more detail very soon.
I had an experience recently that I think is similar to what you're describing. I gave feedback and tried my best to make it be as non-judgmental as I could, and was uncomfortable, and the other person really reacted. And it turned out that my boss and this other person, the boss told me that they were laughing about me behind my back and about what I had said. So I thought, well, I've got to go home and process all this. And what happened is I went home and I realized it didn't really matter that they were laughing at me. What I realized was that I just really disagreed with their opinion, and it made it really neutral. So I didn't feel put down in any way. I just felt, you know, they can feel what they feel about it, but I really disagree, and here's my reasons. Mm-hmm. And so I went back and I said to him, you know, I felt kind of funny when you told me that, but I'm really glad you did. And I realized that I just disagree. Anyway, it was incredibly powerful. So what I'm hoping out of the class is to just get better at being able to give the feedback when I'm triggered, to think better on my feet, and to separate the reaction in the moment so that I can do that a little bit more from the heart and skillfully.
I want to use this opportunity to talk a little bit about how we integrate skill. Because some years ago, somebody came to a workshop and said something that has stayed with me. She said, when we are stressed, we drop to the baseline level of our training. What I want to do is raise that baseline level so that when I'm stressed, I operate on a higher level. I really appreciated this. And I think that's a little bit of what you're talking about. How does this happen? Is there is a process of integration, how something becomes part of my MO in bones and the cells. I like to talk about something that I call acquired spontaneity, where something is integrated inside of me so much that it is what comes out of me without having to think and be present and process and ask myself questions and all of that. So I think that's what you are wanting to reach. Am I reading that accurately?
Perfectly. Absolutely.
And so the way there goes through practice. And practice, it's a combination of practice, self-awareness, and intention. You combine all of those things and you can start tweaking the infrastructure of your being. Because somewhere in there, it's not just practicing, it's having the intention. Now, you have that. I hear that in how you're speaking. For you, it seems like it's primarily about learning to be aware of yourself and practicing what you can do in moments of tension. Hearing that you were able to work through this thing of being told that people were laughing at you gives me a lot of hope that you have the capacity to integrate things. So it may very well be that just practice of where you want to be, how you want to respond again and again over time might just give you that turning.
It felt like moving to this whole other level.
Yeah.
Of being in touch and not caring what else was going on with the other person, but being able to stay with myself. It was amazing.
And then there's a different stage beyond that, I think, if I understood you correctly. There are two ways of interpreting the word, the sentence, caring about what somebody thinks about me. One way of caring about it is I'm going to give it power to make me lose myself. I'm going to, like, worry about it and think, like, what are they going to think about me, and is it okay to say this or not? That's the one that I understood you to have managed to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a different flavor of caring about what somebody else thinks, which is caring about their well-being. It has nothing to do with giving up on myself. It just has to do with including them and including their well-being and including the potential effect of my actions on them as part of what I choose. It's very subtle, And it's completely different from this giving away of power. I'm wondering if you can hear the difference.
Well, because I was able to say how badly I had made my request to the other person. And, you know, there just was an awareness I wasn't really skillful in my presentation, and so I can really see how she took it. I don't know, it was a big step back of not judging her, seeing her really separately.
Great. Thank you.
Hi. Just before we left that part, you were saying caring can be including them and their...
And the effect of my actions on them, so that there is a way in which people can sometimes, and I'm not saying that this was true at all, I was just using it to generalize, there is a way that sometimes people wake up to their power and say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, I'm just going to do what's right, or what I think. And then you can get into a place of just thinking about you and not looking at the effect of your actions. So there is a place of being conscious of the potential effect of your actions that doesn't give away power. That is what I'm aiming for.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
There is a juicy reason that I signed up, which is fairly recently I did something out of the ordinary, which I thought was a good thing. I gave some clients some feedback because I found myself really in pain on a project that I worked with. It's a long story, but burnout, and also I found myself working out of my integrity. Doing what they asked me to do, but also seeing that the way that they wanted me to support them really wasn't going to serve them in the end. And in the end, I basically agreed and counseled them to say, you'll get what you want on the surface, but, you know, in the long run, you know, I have my concerns whether this is really going to serve you. By the end of the project, a lot of what I anticipated happening and not happening really did manifest. And so when we had our feedback session, I basically let them know about the pain and about my concerns. And they basically took it as an insult because they considered the project a success. And I found that very hard for me to hear. And I think I also found it hard not to be taken as seriously as I had thought, because usually as a consultant, as a facilitator of these projects, I'm kind of like the architect, and I didn't have as much power as I normally have to make decisions and choices. And so it's interesting to see how I gave away my power on this and how easily I got clouded between giving them feedback and just really expressing pain that in a lot of ways I saw I brought onto myself. The lessons go on, also giving information or giving feedback to a client that really didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, I am really appreciating what you're bringing forth, which I'm hearing as a very searing personal experience of feeling the effect of the difference between feedback and expressing personal pain.
Yes, and also letting go of that wish, not just to be liked, but, you know, this is a very dear client that I really wish to continue with, and I knew that if I told them the truth about my experience, that I could lose them as a client. And yet, I felt it was important for me to be honest, and, you know, I don't know if they'll call back, quite honestly, but I couldn't live with myself just letting it go and saying it's something small just to get over it.
I understand. I want to say that there are levels of mastery of the art of giving feedback where you can have sufficient skill and sufficient holding of yourself such that you can turn your pain, an expression of your pain, into being feedback. It's a relationship with it. And that, I'm not confident that we will actually manage to get to it in this series because it's a pretty advanced capacity, but I can describe it to you and you might be able to run with it, or others might be able to run with it on your own after the rest of the pieces come. And it has to do with metabolizing my pain and my trigger to a degree that I can hold it, look at it, and not be sucked into it again. Is that clear what I'm saying?
When you say sucked into it again, meaning
okay.
I was with you up until not let this happen again. Are we talking about...
Not be sucked into the pain again. So I can make it very clear, I think. There are certain things in certain moments that I can say to someone, you know, I don't really want to talk about this right now, given the context of what we're doing, because if I start talking about it, I will get back into the emotional field of the thing, and I will start crying. Not that I mind crying, I love crying. It's not what we're trying to do right now, and I won't have a choice about it. Just coming into the field of certain things by talking about them pulls me into the emotional field. Then I know that I haven't really mastered it.
Are you saying that it's ideal to give feedback only when we're completely emotionally detached?
Detached is not the word that I would choose. The word that I would choose is where I can hold the emotional content with choice.
This was such a hot issue that I came up against, that this is like old karma coming back to me. I couldn't see myself telling the client, could you wait a year for me or whatever it takes. Quite honestly, I waited as long as I could so that I could get centered, get counseled, meditate as much. And even still, I found myself disappointed on two ends. One, that I still found myself quite emotionally attached. And then secondly, one of the part of the offense taken by the client is that I waited so long to tell them.
Yeah. So given this level of complexity and charge, I would like, as soon as we're done with the circle, there are just two more people, I would like to come back to you and use this as an example to tease out some of the issues. Are you willing to do that?
I would love that. I would love that, Mickey.
Because it's an example that is so clear. Great. Thank you. Okay, you get the last word on this round.
Good evening. I am taking this class basically because I am a people pleaser, and I want to get off of a seesaw that I see myself on in my work situations of blame, really, either blaming myself or blaming others, and I'm wanting to empower myself in how to stay in communication, in productive communication with the people, my coworkers, and my supervisors. I work on a lot of different projects and work with a number of different people, and in my organization there is quite a bit of fluctuating power structures, different people moving in and out of different positions fairly often. And I want to just become more skilled in how to stay in communication and not remain in this kind of people-pleasing space or this space of feeling disempowered or very judgmental but not saying anything about it or doing anything about it. And I'd also had the experience with one of my managers where I was given feedback and I experienced what a gift it was. And it was actually the first time I'd ever had a formal feedback like that. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely helpful to me because it was so specific. And having experienced what a gift that was to me, I then wanted to also learn how to do that.
Got it. Totally got it. So I just want to say that I am really appreciating that you see the relationship between self-empowerment and transcending blame. Blaming people, whether you say it or not, is a position of disempowerment, and the fact that you see that tells me that you are on your way to shifting it, that you want the empowerment. Let's see how we can help you today with getting to that. Thank you. We're done with the circle. Now what I would like to do, some of you have a situation, specific situation that you brought with you. I know that some of you worked the handout to prepare for the class, and some of you don't have a situation. So if you don't have a situation, I would like you to think of a situation in which you know that you have a personal trigger and you would like to transform it into feedback. So I want to put you in pairs. What I would like you to do is several steps. The first step is I want you to really find the thought that expresses the trigger. So that means if I'm taking the situation that Karen just brought up, it would be, you know, taking one of the blame thoughts or whatever it is that is the actual thought that you have about the other person that is in the feedback situation. You name it and articulate it. Then you and your partner together, step two, look at that judgment, at that thought, to understand what is most important to you in this situation that is expressed in this statement. So let's take a look at an example. If anyone, and I would like people that have a workplace example, so if anybody has an example where you have a judgment of another person that you would like to convert into useful feedback, would someone volunteer it? So tell us what it is.
The thought that describes the trigger. Okay, this is very Jackal speak. We'll say the client or the lead client does not respect my professional opinion and is being stubborn.
Okay, so now I would like everybody to think for a moment. If she thinks that the client is not respecting your professional expertise. Okay, so there are two parts to this thought. This client doesn't respect my professional expertise. And the second thought is they are stubborn. I would like to take both. I'd like everyone on the call to take a moment now and ask yourself the question, if she's having this thought about the other person, about the client, what is it that important to her? What is it that she wants? When she says they're not respecting my professional expertise, what would she want? What's important to her that is expressed in this? When she says the client is stubborn, what's important to her that is expressed through that word? Anybody has a guess?
Acknowledgement, recognition.
Acknowledgement, recognition. Okay. That is for the first part about the client doesn't respect my professional expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody has any other guess for this or a guess for the client is stubborn? What's important?
Cooperation.
Cooperation. Uh-huh.
Her creative vision.
Co-creative vision.
Contribution.
Okay. And now let's go back. Do any of these speak to you?
Contribution, definitely. All of the others were pretty close, but what was really coming out in my mind was respect and also just success. I wanted, perhaps this is part of contribution, but what the client was insisting on was something that I knew would create frustration. It was a retreat. They just wanted to pack 5 days' worth of work in less than 3 days.
I'm wondering, without getting more into the details of the situation right in this moment, I'm wondering if another piece of it is related to, somebody said cooperation. I'm just curious if flexibility is something that would be meaningful to you.
Flexibility, choice, and a key issue here is power, too. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be more of a design partner than, I felt very powerless to make a significant difference.
Okay, so great. So this is step one, is to surface the thoughts. Step two is to find what's really important together in this process, similar to what we did just now. Okay, so the next step is working with your consciousness to shift focus from the client to yourself, to kind of move away from the other person is this or that. It's almost like energetically taking everything back into you, into what's important to you, and sitting with that for a moment, just acknowledging this as you. This is kind of like the key move that nonviolent communication offers us as a way to connect with ourselves, as a way to create space inside, as a way to work through things, is to really get in touch with the underlying things that we want. We call them needs in nonviolent communication context. So that's the third step, is to really take a minute or two to just breathe, bring your attention, say out loud again, so this is the core of what's important to me. In this case, and I would say, okay, so what is really key for me here is respect, cooperation, and power. That's what's important to me, and really sit in that. That would be the third step. And again, I would like to know if there are any questions at this point.
Number two and number three seem very similar to me.
Thank you. I'm appreciating you asking this. For me, there is a world of difference between naming what's important and connecting with it. And I can name what's important, and it can be like a laundry list, check mark. Oh, yes, it's this and this and this and this. Okay, next. And I haven't really made contact with myself. So the third step is taking emotional ownership of these things that are important to me, sitting with them and making room for them inside of me, shifting the energy from the other person to those things that are important to me. Is this providing a bit of clarity?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for that question. It's very core to this practice to understand this distinction. So let's do these three things, and then we'll come back, and then we'll do some debrief, and then there's another piece that I want you to do, which will be about stepping into the shoes of the other person. So let's take a total of 10 minutes, so it'll be 5 minutes per person. The fifth minute is really just to almost sit in silence with the power of knowing what you want and what's important to you, and then switch to the other person and do the same. Welcome back. First of all, I want to offer you just this simple activity as a way to decharge. Second, I want to say there are more things that you can do, but I want to just first hear from a couple of people in brief anything that you got from doing this activity so far and or any questions that you have.
It was great to share my struggle with someone else and hear their empathy. Hear their interpretation and their empathy. I've been around and around giving myself empathy about it, but they heard it in a way that was different, and that was so refreshing. Mm.
So there was relief and deepening of understanding.
Yes, a whole new level of understanding, yes.
Thank you. Anyone else, anything that you would like to share?
I realized in the telling of my story that it was similar to the one earlier, that it seems like I'm not as big as I want to, but I'm starting to take much more of a step back from taking everything personally and, you know, letting other people have their reactions and letting those reactions be okay, you know, changing my behavior, changing my focus because of what I see happening in the interaction of the situation. And it feels like a great relief, but it also feels it feels really powerful and connecting all at the same time.
Thank you. And I wanted to take a moment with Lorraine and curious if you, since I have been thinking of using your example as a bit of a focus, if you can say a little bit of what your experience was of working in your pair.
Definitely much more diffusing. And it actually helped to hear my partner have a similar image, because I could also help process by hearing her experience of a similar situation. What came up for me was also a realization of a block that I think had one of the reasons that it has taken so long to diffuse this, and I'm still in the process of diffusing it, which is realizing my own, for lack of a better word, guilt or my own ownership in the situation. For example, I think seeing how much of my ego was really involved in this project. I was so not only used to, but fully expecting to be a rock star with my clients, and absolutely not just respected, but adored. To see how much of my own personal ego was caught into this also, I think, held me back from detaching, from seeing this as more neutral.
Yeah, so let's translate that too. In other words, just as much as judgment about other people is information that needs to be processed, judgment of ourselves is also. And to say to yourself, I'm aware of how much of my ego was involved, my ear is hearing that as a judgment of yourself.
Yes.
And I want to do a similar thing, and I imagine that for other people, there may also be often when there's a trigger, there's a mixture of judgment of others and judgment of self. If nothing else, if we are committed to a path of non-judgment, then we can judge ourselves for judging, if nothing else. So here is Lorraine telling us that she's becoming aware, in her words, of how much of her ego was involved in this. And especially expecting to be adored and rock star and all of that. So with that, I would like to ask the same question that I asked before. What are you hearing is important when she says, my ego was involved in this? What is it that she wants? How would she like to show up? What kind of a person does she want to be? What's important to her?
To contribute.
Yeah. And what is your sense of what creates so much charge about it in terms of calling it an ego?
That we are also involved in the work we do, that we can't help but be personally invested in it, and especially if it's work that we're passionate about, that's where a lot of creative energy comes from and a lot of inspiration comes from.
Let me get what you're saying, an NVC frame, and maybe you'll see more clearly what I mean. What I'm hearing for what you're saying, I would translate it to imagine that Lorraine wants to bring all her passion to it and remain open to where the client is.
Actually, that's so beautiful. I'm writing that down because that is the balance that I wish to have achieved on that.
Yeah, so that you don't give up your passion, you don't give up your care, and you can stay open to wherever it is that the client is. And let's see if Carolyn has anything she would like to add.
I heard when the idea of kind of looking maybe disparagingly at my ego is involved, is thinking it's okay to really want acknowledgement and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things that came up for myself in my own session too. So that's where it was resonating.
I'm really glad you're bringing this up because a lot of times I hear the word ego as a code word for it's not okay for me to have certain needs. Whenever any of you encounter that word in how you think about yourself, see if you can counter it by saying to yourself, I have a need for love. I have a need for acknowledgement. I have a need for recognition. I have a need for appreciation, whatever it is, and just breathe. It's beyond even saying it's okay to have that need because you're still in judgment, evaluating the need. Just to recognize that the need is there, that you're human and the need is there. Wondering, Lorraine, if this addition is helpful to you.
Oh, I think the onion is definitely getting peeled back. For me, the real gold nugget here is realizing or sort of debunking the myth that on the one hand, I care so much for my clients and this one in particular, and at the same time, really coming up to the reality that where they are and what they're ready for is nowhere close to the potential that I see for them or my desire for them and accepting that duality.
Great. This is something that I want you and everyone else to hold on to as we progress towards the skills of giving feedback. Include in that an intuitive sense of where is the person that you're going to give the feedback to so that you craft it for that person.
One question, though, is still nagging at me, Mickey, about this, which is if I am able to fully accept others, my clients, for where they are, even if it's 50% of what I see possible for them, does that mean that it's never appropriate for me to feel or express disappointment?
It's always the question of what is the purpose? What would be the purpose of you expressing disappointment? It's not a trick question, like there's no purpose and therefore don't. It's more that I'm saying disappointment is so hard to hear that if I'm going to express it, I want to be clear on what I'm trying to accomplish by doing it. How is it a gift to the other person? You with me?
Yeah.
So ponder this. And that brings me to the next thing that I want you to do, and that is a little tool for being able to discern whether you are in the space of feedback, which is primarily an energetic intention of offering a gift to another person that is either for them personally or for them as serving the whole. So, for example, if I'm a manager and I'm giving feedback to an employee, I can have two motivations: to offer them the gift of learning for themselves about becoming the human being that they want to do, or to offer them the gift of how they can contribute to the whole better, which may not necessarily be aligned with their personal goals, and still there may very well be willing to receive it. That orientation of gift to another person, that's the one that I want to come from. And how can I tell? Because several people have said, well, sometimes I think that I'm not triggered, and then it turns out that I am. I want to give you a little bit of a tool that you can use to become aware of it. We're going to do it in pairs this time. And since most of the time in life you don't have a person handy next to you, I also want to give you a way that you can do it on your own. So first, let's do it in pairs. And that is, take the feedback that you want to give, just state it, or even the beginning of it, to the other person in your pair. And then the other person will tell you if it sounds like a judgment or not. That's all. And the way that you can do it by yourself is you write down the feedback that you want to give, and then you read it as if you are the other person. It's essentially to step outside of yourself to see yourself from the shoes of the other person, either with the help of another person or with the help of seeing it in writing so that you can detach in this way. So that's my invitation for you to do in your pairs as the second activity. And so we'll ring the bell after 2 minutes. That will be the end of you offering feedback to the other person. You already know the situation, so it's easier. And then 1 minute for the other person to tell you if they are hearing judgment or not. Then we'll switch. Okay. Welcome back. I am, again, curious to hear from a few people if it was valuable to hear and what you learned from doing this.
I learned two things. One was how important voice tone is and how much I want to think about how I come across with voice tone. But more importantly, my partner and I were both struggling with the issue of in what way is the feedback a gift, and how to get to that place when generally we're wanting to give feedback because of a need we have. So it's a struggle to get to the place where we're offering a gift.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm really glad you're bringing this up, because it's almost like I loop back to the very beginning of everything, which is there is no objection that I have to your expressing your needs and feelings and making requests and doing all of that, asking the other person to hear you and all of that. I just want to distinguish that from feedback. Do you see what I mean? It's just a different form.
I guess for me, in some situations it's very clear. In some situations it isn't so clear how I would ever get to a place where I could come from a gift position. And in that case, do I not give the feedback?
Great. So in that case, what you would need to do is check with the other person if they are available to open their heart to hear of your distress, which is very different from you offering them the gift for their learning. You understand the difference now?
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad this came up because I'm not in any way intending to come across as saying that you shouldn't express yourself if you have emotional charge. It's just a different agreement with the person that is receiving the expression.
I learned that I still have too much emotional charge on this issue to give feedback yet, and I need to work, that the work about getting through the emotional charge is the harder work for me.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Mickey, I would love to hear an example of the difference between giving feedback and expressing feelings and needs. That really is hard for me to grasp.
I will give you an example, and it will become clear when we get into the specificity of how you give feedback, but let me try this. And everything that I'm about to say is bullshit in the sense that it doesn't describe at all anything of my experience. I'm just using what just happened to illustrate it. So I am going to pretend that the question that you just asked was an annoyance for me,
mm-hmm.
which it really wasn't. Just because it was right here, I can use it.
Okay.
Gail, I had a lot of reaction to what you just said, and I'm wondering if you're willing to hear it because it's weighing on my heart and I want some relief. Mm-hmm. And then assuming you say yes.
Yes, thank you.
Then I would say, I'm making it up as I go,
mm-hmm.
Just towards the end, I'm so wanting people to have awareness of time and ask me small questions. It's so irritating to me when there's a big question that comes right towards the end. So I'm all jangled up. I'm wondering if you can understand why I would have this experience. Okay? That was an expression of my experience that I'm asking you to come towards me. Now let me use the exact same thing in how it would sound if it were feedback. Gail, I'm wondering if you're open to some feedback about what just happened.
Yes, please.
And tell me, before I go on, do you feel differently inside when I'm asking you to hear me or when I'm asking you if you're open to receiving feedback? Do you feel it as me asking you two different things?
Yeah.
Okay, so now the feedback. So, and again, all this is bullshit. I'm really having to say it.
Yeah.
I know you have been really wanting to hear about why it is that people get irritated with you. And I can give you a concrete example based on what just happened. There is a quality of focus that I want to have just before I close a session that I didn't have a trust that you were giving your attention to it. And so you asked me a big question when I was getting ready to close. And that, although I was fine with it, I was a little irritated, but it was not a big deal. I can see that that kind of paying attention to where other people might be could be something you would want to grow and learn into so that your effect on people is different. Do you see how they're like two different universes?
Yeah, the you comes in there.
That's what I mean by it's a gift to you.
I'm still using
my experience as information to give you. Thank you for asking this, and you get the final brief word.
It was the same thing, just wanting more distinction, because I really see that was what was really important in my session also, was the difference between the feedback and the feelings, and what a world of difference that they are. Just wanting to delve more into that and appreciating that that's what you've been talking about.
Thank you. And I want to stress that I did express the same feelings and needs in the feedback. It was just the whole thing was framed differently. But I did talk about being irritated, and I did talk about my need for focus. It's still there. That is still the basis of my expression. I just hold it in a different context. So I know I said you would have the final word, but I just want to check in with Lorraine about whether that example that I just used, that distinction was useful for you.
It was really valuable, and I see that what I had done in our feedback with the client was actually just expressing my own personal pain in the guise of feedback, and they saw through that very quickly.
Great. I am really appreciating the speed with which you are willing to look at that, especially understanding how much of you is deeply involved in that. So really touched by that. And thank you, and thank everyone. Bye-bye.